Good morning, Mike Broomhead. You have a full studio today.
I do. I feel much safer this morning. Sharp ran out of the building when he saw the cops walk in, but I feel much safer. Thanks, Jamie. Good morning, everyone. Joining me in studio is Chief Sullivan from the Phoenix Police Department. Chief, welcome.
Mike, thanks for having me.
This crime reduction plan, I've been going over it and looking at what, you know, the 10 pages of the overview for the public, and I want to look at this plan because it seems to me to be a very comprehensive plan, and just some of the highlights here. The most violent people, the most active places, prohibited possessors, violent offenders, and out with outstanding warrants. It sounds so simple, but that's really the key, right?
No, absolutely. If you ever read a plan and you don't understand the plan, it's usually a lot of words on the paper that don't equate to action.
So when putting this together, can you kind of give us a little bit of behind the scenes of whose input came into this? Did you bring some of this with you from other places you've been? How does this get put together?
So certainly, I brought my executive team together and I gave them those four focus areas that I wanted to build a plan around. And then we brought folks together from around the department to work on this for about 3 months, get input from every level, the people who are actually going to be doing the work, and not just executives. And then they came up with this plan. It's terrific.
When you look at the increases in crime, 39% increase from 2017 in homicides, rape and robbery are down a little bit, aggravated assault is up. We've got a crime increase. Arson is up 35%. How much do those increased statistics play a role in how you build this plan? And is it different in different precincts with these increases and decreases?
Certainly. It's nuanced for each precinct and each area of the city. And that's why the plan needs to be specific. And there needs to be plans that are put together that support this plan at the bureau and the precinct level.
I've highlighted some things in here that I read and I thought, everybody should think about this. A disproportionate amount of the criminal behavior in our city is concentrated in specific geographical locations within each precinct. So it's not just each precinct being treated differently, it's neighborhoods within each precinct.
Absolutely. We need to make sure that we're looking at each area distinct that it is and making sure that it's addressed through a community approach. It's not just a police approach. We want solutions that are going to last.
When you look at that community approach, that's another part of the puzzle that I know that every agency has been working on, which is community involvement, a community that feels safe in coming to the police or bringing information to the police when something happens. How do you build those relationships, and do you think you're working in a positive direction to do that?
Absolutely. I meet with groups all the time. I have a number of police advisory boards, but that's just the example that I put out there. It's happening at the precinct level. That's where the rubber meets the road. I mean, that's where the work really happens.
So how does that work? I mean, obviously, if each precinct is different, how is it when you look at those specific relationships with the community, is there certain things that are common goals or common things you think happen that build those relationships in a community where they trust you?
One thing that you've probably heard me say before, I talk about FBI, and I don't mean the Federal Bureau of Investigation. I mean friends before incidents. The last time, we don't need to be talking to each other the first time when something is really bad. We need to build that relationship prior to a bad incident.
It's funny you say that. Somebody that is very wise once told me that you don't build a relationship in a crisis, you rely on a relationship in a crisis. So that's kind of the plan.
Absolutely.
So in going through more of this, prohibited possessors, violent offenders with outstanding warrants. Obviously, if they have outstanding warrants, does that mean you're going to have groups of cops that are specifically looking at violent offenders with outstanding warrants?
Right. We do that now, but we're talking about a tiered approach. So we can measure and hold ourselves accountable as we go forward, and pull those folks off the street before they can offend and offend and offend again.
One of the things you talk about in here is the rapport with building good cases for prosecution. How is the rapport with the prosecutors and the judges long term with these cases? When your officers build these solid cases, is there a good rapport where you know they're going to be prosecuted and people are going to be punished?
I have an incredible relationship with the Maricopa County Attorney's Office and Rachel Mitchell and the U.S. Attorney's Office and Gary Ostano. We've met multiple times. There's more to come on that. And you'll see in the coming months.
Phoenix Police Chief Sullivan is joining us. So let's talk about some of the goals. Goal number two, there's one is implement an operation and business model. That's number one. But number two says reduce the number of violent crimes in the city of Phoenix by 5% and the number of property crimes by 8%. When do you want to meet that goal? What's the timeline for you?
You know, we're kicking this off, into the second quarter of the year, but we're going to measure ourselves at the end of the year and see where we are. I have confidence that the team is going to put the work and effort in and collaborate with the community to make sure that we meet those goals.
Address the most active hotspots in the city through targeted and high visibility policing efforts within each precinct. I joke about it on the air, but it's not a joke. In the traffic world, we know the traffic accidents have been happening. There have been pedestrian deaths in Phoenix. But what slows people down is the visibility of the cops out there in the traffic situation. It's got to be the same way in these other crimes, correct?
Absolutely.
So how do you do that? We're going to get to staffing in a few moments, but is this part of the data that you have where you know within the precinct these are the hot spots and we're going to be really visible in those areas? Is that the plan?
Well, and it's more nuanced than just the hot spot. It's the time of day of week. You really need to dig into the data and see what's happening during those times. It's going to be nuanced across different areas. Some areas it might be the evening. Some areas it might be the mornings. And those precinct commanders that are closest to the work know that about their areas. And that's what we expect.
So in that intelligence gathering, how do you get some of the information? I mean, I'm sure there's things you can't tell us, but how do you get some of the information? Where does this data come from on the crimes in Phoenix?
Obviously, reported crimes is our best data source. So we encourage the public to report crimes as they occur, because if you don't report them to the police, we don't know they're occurring. That is by far our best. But we also have folks that talk to us and give us information about criminal behavior and how the criminals are operating in different areas.
You mentioned a moment ago that you have a great rapport with the county attorney and the U.S. attorney, but this city is part of a huge valley. And, you know, the city's almost, you don't know when you leave one and get into the other. How is your relationship between Phoenix PD, not just yourself, but with the other agencies around you?
No, I've met all the chiefs. Matter of fact, there's a West Valley chiefs meeting today, part of the East Valley chiefs meeting that I go to on a regular basis. And then the broader scope is the entire state with ACOP and the way that we're able to interact there. It's an incredible law enforcement community here in Arizona that works very, very well with us. And not to mention, I can't forget our federal friends at the ATF and the FBI and HSI, DEA, that support us every single day.
When one of the important things I would, in your position, is you're talking about the community here, but what's been in the news for the past year or so is officer safety. There seems to be this increase in violence, not just in Phoenix, but around the country in attacks on officers. How do you address that with the people that work for you about, and how important is it to you, and what do you do about officer safety?
We talk about it all the time. So we've had 16 officer-involved shooting incidents this year. 11 of those folks have been faced with firearms, and all 11 of those folks were prohibited possessors, which is why you see that in there. But we've also talked about time, distance, and cover. Slow down. We had an incident just this past weekend where officers confronted a suspect, a burglary suspect, who fired shots at them from outside the department. They didn't outside the apartment. They didn't rush in. They waited. We brought in our special assignment unit, and they were able to work methodically and bring the individual into custody. So time, distance, and cover, and make sure that they keep themselves safe and go home at the end of every shift.
When I know that there's a lot of people that have seen this plan before we did in the public, how has it been received with the officers, as far as you know?
You know, in the conversation I have, it's refreshing that we're focused on what we're here to do: prevent, control crime, provide justice and public safety to the citizens of Phoenix.
And you break it down: patrol officers, detectives, and investigations. And it everything seems to say, if we do our job at the highest level of professionalism, we're going to be successful. Is that the theme?
Theme every single day, yeah.
So how do you train? Because I want to, in the next segment, because you're going to be here one more segment, I want to talk about staffing. But how do you have the time to train your officers when you have so few officers and they need to be out there doing their job?
It's a challenge. I would be lying to you if I said it wasn't. However, it's not an option. We have to train. We have to train to the highest levels to be able to provide the service that the city expects of us.
Do you have your officers bought into? There are definite changes that always happen in law enforcement. It's like in any career. Over the years you're in it, you see changes in an industry. How are the officers receiving the changes in responding to the changes in policing in Phoenix?
You know, change is never easy. I've been in this business for 30 years, and I would say we're a profession resistant to change. But we're in it, we're doing it, and I believe we're doing it better than anybody in the country.
Chief Sullivan is joining us. He is the Phoenix Police Chief. What we're going to do in the final segment is we're going to talk about staffing issues, goals they have for recruitment, and who they're recruiting. So all that's coming up next.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
Hey, thanks for being here. Chief Sullivan is joining us again from Phoenix PD. Let's talk about staffing, because this plan is only as good as the people that can pull it off, can do the work. Do you think you have sufficient staffing to do all of the things in this report?
What I can say is this plan gets us focused, and we have to be laser focused when you're 500 officers down from where we should be to be able to do this work.
So what does it do? You're talking about prioritizing, but from a, you know, I've been frustrated about this for years. I've been talking about it in the air long before you were the chief, that Phoenix was growing and yet the police department wasn't. It's half the size of Philadelphia's police department. We can talk about all the complaints in the world, but you're the one that has to juggle all of this. How does that happen? Is it your command staff in individual precincts juggling this? How do you do this juggling act and be successful?
Well, we have to. There's no other option. Providing public safety is critical to the growth and the health of this community, and we'll do whatever we have to do to be able to do that. We do it with overtime. We have officers working incredible amounts of overtime. We also have a summer crime or summer staffing plan where we're taking folks, detectives who work in offices, putting them out for additional shifts on the street, asking our patrol officers to work extra shifts on the street during the times that we know that we have high volume. So we use data to be able to drive those decisions.
So is the downside of that, this makes sense, is that the downside of that is if you pull detectives out of a detective bureau to do a patrol shift, it takes them away a shift from doing the work of investigating some of these crimes on the back end. How do you make up for that?
I can't make more hours in the day, but I can pay overtime. And we supplement this lack of officers and detectives that we have out there with overtime, but we also do it with professional staff. We have civilian investigators that we've expanded. We have police assistants who are picking up an incredible load for us and taking the work off patrol officers so they can go out and do the work that it takes a badge and a gun to do. So those folks are critical to our operation.
And having a thriving reserve officer bureau is got to be an asset as well.
It's incredible. I tell them every time I go, I've never seen a reserve program like this. I've had the experience of doing this all over the country, and it's a real gem that we have here in the Phoenix Police Department, our reserve bureau.
So you set a goal I saw recently. I think the number is 564 officers. That's the goal, to hire those. What's the timeline in which you're looking to hire that many officers?
This time last year, we were shrinking as a department. We've stabilized now. Right now, I have 106 recruits that are in the academy, another three dozen that are out in officer and training that are getting ready to cycle into the field. That's good. And we're finally hiring more folks than we're losing, which is step one. Step two is to continue to do exactly what we're doing. Hire folks and make sure they get in, and then treat our officers that are here so they want to stay. Because it's a retention issue as much as a hiring issue. I want to tell just a real quick story. I swore in a lateral officer. This is an officer from another department. This officer came from the Seattle Police Department last week. He originally came to us after 20 years and was a civilian investigator, and he saw what this department was, the fabric of this department. He said, I want to put on the blue suit of the Phoenix Police Department and be part of this organization. That's somebody that's done 20 years in another organization, and he says he's calling his friends up in Phoenix, say, you need to come down here and see what we're doing down here in Phoenix.
And I was going to, that leads me to the question of, is it bringing in officers from other parts of the country? Because there's this huge migration to Arizona anyway, in every industry. I would imagine policing would be the same. Is that part of the recruiting? Is it people that have never done the job before? Is it a combination of the two that you're focused on?
We focus on folks that are here local. You know, that's the vast majority of what we have is here local. But, you know, like anything else, you don't put all your eggs in one basket. You have to have a varied approach when it comes to recruiting. And certainly, people want to come here. I mean, it's a beautiful, beautiful area.
Do you have a kind of a goal and a timeline to start increasing those numbers to get to that 564? What does it look like to you?
I mean, like anything else, you eat an elephant one bite at a time. It's each and every class that we go. You know, the goal is to have those classes be between 30 and 35 each and every class that we put through. Right now, we're more of the 25 to 30. So we're continuing to grow, but last year we were 6 to 12. So you can see the momentum building, and I look forward to see the growth of Phoenix Police Department the next year.
And the challenge for you recruiting people is not just the numbers of people that want the job, but the number of people that can actually qualify. It's a difficult profession to be qualified in with all the background checks and the mental health evaluation, physical fitness. So it's not just getting people to apply, it's qualified people, correct?
And people with really the heart of service that are willing to do this difficult work every single day.
One of the topics for me that is important is when you talk about diversifying the agency, because my sister-in-law is a deputy. My brother's a captain. His wife is a deputy. And she is such a good cop. And when she went on the sheriff's department, it wasn't that she wasn't interested in the job. She wasn't sure that the job was interested in her. And you're making a big push to make sure people understand you are all more than welcome here.
Absolutely. You know, we recently signed up for the 30 by 30 initiative. That's where 30% of our we're committing to get 30% of our recruit classes female by 2030. It's a ambitious goal, but I think it's something that we're going to continue to work with and put metrics together this summer to be able to really start measuring it. Performance management, it's the key.
Are you finding that more and more women are interested in the field?
I wish there were even more. You know, certainly we see incredible work by all members of the department, but women as well.
I was going to say, if you want to have someone out there actively recruiting, there are so many great women on the department that I've met that they would be incredible recruiters to other women to come into this field, because they've shown what excellent officers they are and how respected they are in the agency.
Absolutely. And we have those women out doing that, mentoring folks every single day.
Well, I appreciate the time today. One last thing. What do you say to the citizens of Phoenix that are hearing a little bit about this and they want to know how this is going to work? What do you say to the citizens of Phoenix that just want to live in a safe city where they feel like they can walk around at night and their homes are safe when they're not there?
Engage with your police department, especially at that precinct level. You make sure that you're involved in your community. You share information. If you see something, say something, and report what is going on in your area, so we can work together collaboratively to reduce crime.
Yeah, it's a great way to support the police. We all say we support officers, but that kind of information is what helps them do their jobs as well.
Every single day.
Chief, I appreciate it. Appreciate the time.
Thanks, Mike.
That's Chief Sullivan for the Phoenix Police Department. We'll be right back.
The Gatos Big Q poll question, brought to you by your Valley Toyota dealers.
Back again by popular demand, Steve Zinsmeister. Welcome back, Steve.
Hey, Mike, when was the last time you went to the movies?
Oh, when was the last time I went to the movies? I'm trying to remember what I went and saw. It's been about a year or so.
Oh,
Top Gun. I went to see Top Gun. Yeah, thanks, Julie. I went to see Top Gun.
There you go. Yeah. See, I thought it would have been at least the 90s the last time you saw a movie.
Well, you know, I do watch old movies.
Oh, that's fair. And I think that's probably spot on for you. So my favorite director, Christopher Nolan, he's got a big movie coming out called Oppenheimer, right? Shot in IMAX. It's all about the first testing of the nuclear bomb. And Christopher Nolan kind of ruffled a few feathers by saying that the best place to sit in a movie theater is the middle of the third row. Now, that's a little up front for me,
okay.
And that's in that front section, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But he says it's the third row. So the big Gatos BQ poll question today, where do you think is the best spot in the movie theater? Your three answer choices are either the front section, right in the middle, or in the back row?
I would say middle section on the aisle. I have to have an aisle seat.
On the aisle?
I have to be on the aisle.
What are you talking about?
I have to be on the aisle. So, you know, we've turned this into a Seinfeld episode. You know that?
Why do you need the aisle?
I just like to be on the aisle.
Is this like the whole you never have your back to the exit?
No, not really. No, it's just more like if I have to get up and use the restroom, I want to go get more dots or something. I don't want to cross in front of everybody. I just want to get up and go.
Oh, so you're doing it for other people.
Yeah, yeah. It's not safety. No, I'm not worried about safety.
All right. Well, so, you're on the aisle. I'll be in the dead center of the entire theater.
Fair enough. All right. Remind me to tell you someday of my great movie story that involved the movie Halloween. Someday I'll tell you.
Oh, fantastic. Can't wait.
Maybe I'll do it at Halloween.
There you go.
All right. Thanks, Steve.
All right, Mike.
All right. The Big Q poll question today brought to you by your Valley Toyota dealers. Coming up just after 9 o'clock, Maricopa County Recorder Stephen Richer. And this time, it's not about election integrity. We'll do it in a moment.